AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to have you here today. 952-946-6205. Matt, Brett, let's start off with the great news about the Blue State Ball. The ticket sales are up and running right now on the website, correct?
Literally just put that up on the website, so you're ready to go.
Whew, there you go. Blue State Ball, you can join us. It is going to be on March 10th at the Blaisdell. We got Norman Goldman, we've got Tom Hartman, Mike McAtee, myself. We're all going to be there. I can tell you without a doubt, we are going to have so many politicians there running for a variety of offices. I'm not going to say yet because we're waiting. We want to get some confirmations. We're going to unroll this slowly. But I will let you know it is going to be packed with politicians. We want to see you there. Tickets available, am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. We look forward to seeing you there. The VIP event, that starts at
5:30
runs till 7, and then at 7 o'clock, it's general admission. We had a blast last year. We're going to have another, just be a fantastic time this year as well. So we're looking forward to seeing you, and please join us at the Blaisdell, March 10th. It is the Blue State Ball. From AM 950. I've been talking about her campaign now for a few days. I am tickled pink. I was actually able to get her on the air with us. Running for the special election in 23B. That's Tony Cornish's old seat. Welcome to the show. The DFL endorsed candidate, Melissa Wagner, is joining us running for state representative. Melissa, thank you very much for the time. I do appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I'm excited to be able to talk with you.
Hey, well, let's talk a little bit about yourself. Why don't you give a little background for everyone out there? Who is Melissa Wagner?
Well, I am a school social worker, and so I have worked down in southern Minnesota in education for the last 24 years. And so I've served in a variety of capacities, working directly with kids and training adults in how to work with kids and families, and I live on my family farm outside Lake Crystal in Butternut Valley Township, and we've raised three children, Joe and I have, and they all continue to live and work in Minnesota, although, you know, they've all, you know, felt the call of the big city, and so they are up in Minneapolis and St. Paul right now.
Butternut Valley. I know where Butternut Valley is. A lovely area. Absolutely fantastic farm country down there.
Yep, it is. It's our little piece of heaven, and so we don't tell too many people about it because we're afraid they'll keep coming.
Well, and I know it. You know, we actually did a show about it because I said, "Is there anything that sounds more pleasant than Butternut Valley?" I don't think so. What school? Can I ask what school district have you been working for down there?
Okay, I actually work for the Minnesota Valley Education Co-op, and so we serve seven schools all surrounding Mankato. And so it's Le Sueur Henderson and Cleveland and Nicollet. And then we go into Blue Earth County to Lake Crystal Welcome Memorial and St. Clair and Maple River. Who'd I forget? Did I get everybody?
You got a lot to work with
out
there.
Well, yeah, yep. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say, in your experience with the education here, I mean, obviously it's something that, I mean, I think that is so important when we're looking for representation, is not just people that sit there and scream about teacher bad, teacher bad, teacher bad. It's people that are in the education system that can see the ins and outs, see the ups and downs, see what's not working, see what they do need to fix in St. Paul, and not just label things generically, which I don't think has helped our education system at all.
No, it hasn't. You know, and I think that's one of the big motivators for me is, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm working as a part of a larger system. You know, I mean, I'm in all seven of those districts on an ongoing basis. St. Peter, that's who I forgot. That's the biggest district. I'm sitting in St. Peter as we speak, and I can't remember where I am. But that was one of my big motivators is, you know, in the years that I've worked in schools, you know, we've slowly seen funding eroded, and you know, they pick away at things, and you know, it's really kind of hit critical mass, you know, especially in regards to the mental health of our kids. You know, they're tested so heavily, they're under so much stress. You know, we've cut away FIED, we've cut down recess time so that, you know, they have more time to increase their test scores, and, you know, and kids are more stressed as a result of that, and, you know, just life in general. And then we've also cut back on the services you know, that can help support them. You know, one of the schools when I started, there were three counselors and three social workers that served the building, and that's been cut, you know, in half, you know, so that in the last 6 or 8 years, they've been down to two counselors and one social worker. And so there are things that are not happening. And I think as a result, you know, our kids are really suffering, and it needs to change.
Well, and it's interesting. I got into a conversation with a Republican from one of the southern Minnesota districts, and he was all upset about the schools, and he said, we need to get rid of these licensing requirements. And I said, why? I said, well, because we can't get teachers. I said, well, when was the last time you praised a teacher? I mean, isn't your entire narrative how teachers are costing too much and, you know, tenure is bad and, you know, teachers expect too much and they get all summer off and they don't get really work and they're all these things. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be too eager to go into a community and work if I'm constantly being vilified as the problem with education, when the problem with education, I think, is, especially in outstate Minnesota, is the lack of a coherent funding operation coming out of St. Paul for the rural schools so that they're not taxed as hard as they are when it comes to the offering the special services.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, you know, I mean, the amount of stress and work that is placed on these teachers is just extraordinary. And again, like you said, they're always the reason when things aren't going right. Mm-hmm. And so we need to start respecting the people that have, you know, given their lives to educate our, you know, our future, and start appreciating them both financially, but I think also, you know, recognizing how important they are, you know. And when you look at other countries that their education is going better, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the parents and the community see them as critical, you know, critical people, and they are very appreciative and respectful of them. And we've really lost that.
Exactly. I mean, and one of the things I think that happens in the Twin Cities, we don't realize there really is a big financial problem with how we fund outstate schools that we need to address. The problem is when we have people like Tony Cornish going into the Minnesota House, he's not really looking to fix the problem. He just wants to find villains so he can push his agenda. What we really need is people that are going to be going there that bring in that bird's eye view, like yourself, Melissa, who can go in there and change the system to where you're not punishing metro area schools. I mean, they can thrive as they've always have, but we have a better funding system to where the teachers, the students, and the overall district is better served in rural Minnesota.
Right, right. You know, and that, and part of, you know, I think a good visual of the problem is, you know, I mean, it costs the same to build a school to house 500 kids in outstate Minnesota as it does in the metro. But when you have a tax base of, you know, yep, 3 million people, you know, it's nothing to spread that cost of that building out among those people. But when your tax base is only like, oh, maybe 20,000 people, you know, that's a huge burden to pay for that same facility that's necessary to educate the kids in the area.
You did get the Education Minnesota endorsement as well. I should mention that, correct?
Yes, I did. Yep.
Nice.
Yes, I did. I was very pleased to be able to, you know, represent the teachers and the educators, and I hope to do a good job for them.
Joining us once again right now, Melissa Wagner. She is running for the special election for 23B. This is Tony Cornish's seat. Joining us from beautiful Butternut Valley. I still love the name of that town. That is the best name. Let's talk about some of the other issues. I mean, obviously, education's a big issue. I think you would be magnificent from just everything I've just heard you say for 23B in St. Paul on education. Let's talk about some of the other issues that are out there that are affecting 23B.
Yeah, I think one of the top ones that no one can deny is healthcare.
Yes.
You know, and it's not only, you know, the fact that we're being priced right out of the insurance market. I mean, people can't afford to buy insurance. We also, even with insurance, you know, people are struggling to be able to go to the doctor. And when I'm knocking on doors, that's the number one thing that I'm hearing is, you know, I need to go, but I can't afford my copay. I can't afford the medication. And it's harder and harder to access care in outstate Minnesota. You know, I mean, you know, we're talking in the news about how they're, you know, closing down the facilities in Albert Lea and, you know, expecting people to drive further to get care. And it is a problem, especially, you know, if you have, you know, small children and you need to bundle them up and get them to a doctor's appointment, or you're elderly and frail and you have to find a ride somewhere. And so those are huge issues that we need to take a look at in order to support, you know, the overall welfare of our families.
And I think it's so important. I mean, one of the things we're learning, and we've learned this actually from other states watching what's been going on, is that there is an onus by the state. If the federal government, say they cut back on Medicaid, Medicare, they're cutting back on health care options for you, that the state can step in and do that. And what we need in 23B is not someone that's going to shrug their shoulders and say, well, the federal government says we're not going to do anything. We need someone that's going to look and say, well, if the federal government's not going to do something, we should be doing something here in Minnesota.
Right, and we've done that in the past. I mean, you know, look at our Minnesota Care program was really, you know, one of the leading in the nation that happened long before Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act came into place. And so we do know how to do it well. We do know how to get people, you know, to be able to access services. And so I think we're just going to have to take a look at that as well, you know, in our region and in our state if it's not being done at the federal level.
MelissaWagner.org, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R.org is the website. Let's talk a little bit about the race, because we actually discussed this yesterday on my show, the article out of Blue Stem Prairie, that the Republicans seem to have a little bit of an interesting fight going on for a primary for their who's going to replace Cornish on their side of the ticket. It sounds like there is a third-party candidate in this race as well. Overall, I mean, Tony Cornish ended up leaving the Minnesota House in fairly, in a fairly abrupt manner. Is the feeling down in the district that he was wronged, or is the feeling that there, you know, he needed to go because of the allegations of sexual misconduct?
The basic feelings are that's who he was. I mean, it didn't come as a shock or a surprise to anyone in the district. You know, it was just that it became public knowledge, you know. So I don't know if they felt that he was, you know, wronged or, you know, but it's just that's the way it was. It's kind of like, oops, you know, somebody finally stood up and said enough is enough. And, so we need to move on. And it's really surprisingly a non-issue. And a lot of it has to do, you know, I believe with, you know, what happens when you have power. You know, it has a lot to do with just, you know, instead of representing and serving the people, you know, he decided that he could do whatever he wanted.
Just once again, we don't get a lot out of 23B up here. How have the Republicans been addressing it down in that district? I mean, have they just kind of ignored it, trying to move past it? Because, I mean, it would seem to me, it wasn't the only case. I mean, Senator Dan Schoen was a problem. Of course, Senator Al Franken had an issue. People, you know, want to discuss this and hash this out. Or is this a case where the Republican Party down in that district is just trying to sweep this under the rug and say, we're moving on, it's over?
I think they're moving on. You know, I mean, they just say that, you know, he shouldn't have done that, and you know we'll do better next time, and you know are trying to move forward. I think they're, you know, I mean, they've kind of moved on to other issues, and I think we're pretty supportive of him until he decided to endorse the other person that filed that didn't get the GOP endorsement, and so I think they're much more upset with him about that than the fact that he was harassing women.
Oh no, and don't get me wrong, yeah, that was. I to a point, I don't quite understand what he was thinking about when he did that. But yeah, we were reading some of the editorials from Republicans tearing him down. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty, I mean, Jeremy Munson is the endorsed candidate. He went out there and he's backing Scott Sanders, who's his candidate. You know, it's a little soap opera over there, but it's adding to the drama here, because we have seen, and we just, the latest example was earlier this week, Wisconsin 10 Senate district. This is a good Republican district usually. Trump won that district by 17. The Democrat won by 11. That's a 28-point swing. And as we were doing the math yesterday, even if we just cleave off 8 of those points and just say that was a unique situation for that Wisconsin 10 race, 20 points in any Minnesota race against the Republicans puts pretty much every seat into play, including Tony Cornish's old seat here. I think that there's a pretty good chance here. What, the response towards the Democrat, towards your candidacy here, it sounds like it's been very positive.
It has been I overwhelmingly positive. You know, there people are just so excited to, you know, to be able to have a fresh start, and to, you know, to be able to voice something. And we were talking last night, I was speaking with a group of people, and we were talking about, you know, the Minnesota Nice, you know, that is alive and well here in southern Minnesota. And part of it is, once you get elected out here, you know, they never want to fire anybody because that's just not nice. And so it's like, but once the seat is open, then people are willing to take a look at, you know, who can best, you know, represent me and who's gonna, you know, look out for southern Minnesota and be a strong voice. And so I think that it really almost goes beyond party lines, because, you know, our district, you know, continues to, you know, support Democrats like Wells and Senator Klobuchar, and, you know, and so we do vote Democratic at times. And so I think it really comes down to who they think is really what they want. And once we're there, they're going to stand behind you.
What does your campaign need most of all? Does it need donations, volunteers? What are you looking to get help with over the next few days?
Yeah. You know, Jeremy Munson is the chair of CD1, and so he's very well connected and very well funded. And so we are continuing to, you know, have to push back against that to get our message out. And so we're trying to have a huge blitz after the primary, which is a week from Monday, so that people don't think that I voted once and now I'm done, because, you know, my name is on the ballot unopposed. And so sometimes people get a little bit confused as to what's going on. And they're like, hey, didn't I already vote? And it's with that 2-week turnaround, we really just need to get the message out and to get out the vote. And so, yep, anything that can help us with advertising and mailings is great. We're also doing a bunch of door knocking. And so if you want to come see beautiful Butternut Valley, we're staging out of our barn on the farm down in southern Minnesota, starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow and noon on Sunday. And you can get to see more of the countryside. We're about an hour and a half out of the metro, just outside Mankato, and on our website gives the address for that as well, if people want to get out and enjoy the beautiful sunshine and knock on some doors and meet the good people of 23B.
I will say, I want to make sure we run through the timeline here, just to make sure we have it correctly. The primary day for the special election, that is going to be on January 29th. Then 2 weeks later, which is a Monday, then 2 weeks later on another Monday, February 12th, is the special election to replace Tony Cornish in the Minnesota House. So once again, we, you know, especially between the 29th and the 12th, we need to get down there and help, because I think you would even admit that this would send shockwaves beyond shockwaves through the Minnesota Republican Party, that changes in the air, that if Tony Cornish, one of the more reliable Republican seats that there has been, goes to the Democrats in Minnesota, that change is coming, and real change and real progress in rural Minnesota is going to come there with the election of Democrats to go out there and represent those districts fairly in St. Paul.
Oh, definitely. All of the interviews that have been given by any Republican are like, this is a Republican seat, you know, we're going to easily retain this seat, you know, there's no question about it. And, you know, and so I think that's what's opened the door for them to argue over who should have their name on the final ballot, because they really don't think that there is any challenge from anybody that has a D in front of their name.
I want to make this challenge happen. I once again, if you can help out, make a donation or volunteer. Butternut Valley is gorgeous. It's actually a very pretty part of the state. Even in winter, bundle up. They need people to go do some door knocking. MelissaWagner.org. It's MelissaWagner.org is the website. We'll link to it on all the social media. We want people to get in touch with you, and we want, obviously, 23B to go to the Democrats. Melissa, all my best. An absolute pleasure having you on, and if you have time in that two-week stretch after the primaries, before the special election, let's have you back on again and talk about the race some more, okay?
I would love to do that. I will plan on it.
Thank you very much. Melissa Wagner, once again, the Democrat running for 23B. Democrat of the day. Why not? It is the take a break right now. We'll take a break right now. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Congratulations, you survived the holidays. Now what about cleaning up that holiday mess? Fortunately, right now is the best time of the year to call Zero Res and let their professionals do their empowered water thing. Why? Because Zero Res is having a holiday hangover sale. This month you can get 3-room Zero Res clean starting at only $119. Plus this month you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will continue our series on When Is It Time for Hospice, where we will share insights on life's design, the birthing in and birthing out cycle of life, and discuss the benefits of hospice care. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
Hello, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday as I help you make sense of the issues of the day with some much-needed wit. Today on the show, it's Friday, and boy, these weeks are rocketing by. We will review the week, but will the government shut down tonight? That's the big question. Join me, and we'll find out. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Chocolat Celeste is a true celebration. This is Colette, and we've created 2 themed chocolate collections for this year's football playoffs. These chocolates are the world's finest artisan chocolates with distinct, unforgettable flavors that will sweeten your team's victory and soften the sting of defeat. Having a party? Skol! Check out our football-themed chocolates. We're an approved vendor through the NFL Business Connect program. Call 651-644-3823 or visit chocolatceleste.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I would, first of all, I want to remind people, as it sounds like it's an uphill battle for Melissa, remind her about that Wisconsin race just across the river. That they had a popular Republican representative running. They had a 3.5 to 1 money advantage. You know, this is a solid red district. This was a plus 20 point seater. They lost by 10 plus. Do not tell me that this seat is not up for grabs. But what it takes is people going on down there and fighting for Melissa. And that is the case. And trust me, nothing will terrify the Republicans in this state more than at the time when they have the head of the Republican Party wanting a 10% commission off of every donation made to the party. They have to go spend money in Kirk Dowd's race. They have to go spend money in Joyce Pepin's race, in Sarah Anderson's race, in seats they didn't think they were going to have to fight and protect, that they have got to take money and save those seats. Because if they got they there's only a finite amount of money. Don't trust me, a lot of dark money will come into the state for the Republicans. But when it comes to the money they've got on hand, they don't have a lot of money. And if all of a sudden they have to basically start preserving the leadership of the Minnesota House, well, that's a new situation. And there's a pretty good chance there's going to be a special election for Fishbox seat at some point here. So they don't, they're going to spend money there. There comes a point where if we can start scaring these Republicans and making them realize, because I'll tell you right, once again, that's February 12th. It's a Monday is the special election. If that election goes for Melissa Wagner, if that's what happens, then whatever, I have to imagine whatever the Republican playbook was going to be for this year, they are throwing it out and saying, we've got to, either they're going to have to try to find some moderate stances they can go with to try to make it seem like they're not nearly as far right as Trump is, or they're going to get belligerent. It's one of the two. But, you know, you need to help out if you can. If you can, please help out. It is really a three-person race. Melissa Wagner is the Democrat. She's the DFLer. The primary is the 29th of January. That's a Monday. She's going to be on the ballot, but by herself on that ballot, on the primary ballot. And it's going to be Munson and what's the other guy's name? Munson and Sanders. Isn't it Sanders? That's the Republican running down there? Yes, Sanders, Scott Sanders. Munson and Sanders are going to be on the Republican side trying to get the nomination there. And the reality is, if Sanders wins that primary, you are going to make so many Republicans in that district mad. And I understand they're going to be like, well, you guys need to come and get in the fold now. Well, no. What do they offer you? What are the Republicans offering you? The Republicans are offering you nothing outside of, we'll wait for Trump to fix everything. How's that going? Sounds like the, I'll tell you what, when we come on back, we'll give an update on the negotiations in Washington, D.C. to try to prevent the government from closing. Once again, the Republican Party in charge of everything could not fight their way out of a wet paper bag at this point. We'll also talk about the new poll from the Star Tribune about who's leading in the governor's races and Vikings prediction.
Super Bowl Vikings, right?
Yeah, maybe not. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Who can defeat Congressman Jason Lewis? It's a question a lot of Democrats are asking these days as the DFL gets ready to start its endorsement process. Angie Craig and Jeff Erdman are the two announced candidates for the DFL endorsement in the 2nd Congressional District. Recently, they faced off at a candidates' forum in Northfield, and you can hear it this Saturday at 10 a.m. on AM 950 Radio. That's the CD2 DFL Congressional Candidates Forum, Saturday, 10 a.m. on AM 950 Radio.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. One of the best parts of owning a new Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota is the service that comes with the vehicle. With my service package, I don't pay for anything. Oil changes, routine maintenance, and front-to-back coverage, it's an amazing stress reliever to have the cost of maintaining my vehicle included in the original cost. And Rudy Luther's top-notch staff takes care of everything, making my life even better. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for mostly cloudy skies today with a high near 40. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 26. Saturday, cloudy with a high near 37. And Saturday, a chance for rain and snow with a high around 35. Origins Eye Clinic will treat everything from routine care to emergency eye care. They're patient-centered and locally owned and operated. Their doctors will also spend plenty of time answering any questions you have and help you pick out the right pair of glasses for you. They're located off 66th and Lindale. More at OriginsEyeClinic.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the Week, Great Wall. As we've been talking all week, if you're looking for something to warm you up, try their soups. They're fantastic. Their hot and sour soup is really, really good. They've got an extensive Chinese menu in the Twin Cities, one of the most expensive ones. And, of course, it's just fantastic overall. You'll love them. Just north of 50th in France, right around 45th in France, in Edina. It's Great Wall, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. I should also mention, I wanted to thank the folks over at One Voice Mixed Chorus. We had some tickets we gave away earlier this week. They've got a presentation tonight and on Sunday for Sanctuary. Tonight, they are at the Ordway at 7:30 p.m., and on Sunday, they're at the Ordway at 3:30 p.m. If you'd like tickets, go to ordway.org. That's ordway.org.
Just to quickly chime in here, if you won those tickets, they are available on Will Call. We've had some trouble getting a hold of a few people that were asking about that. But, yeah, they're at Will Call if you were one of the winners.
All righty. Good deal. We'll get into the national news here in just a second here. I did want to make a point here. The Star Tribune did come on out with their polls on the who is going to look like the nominees right now. There is some interesting stats on both sides of it. On the DFL side, Tim Walz is the overall leader at 21%. Lori Swanson, who to my knowledge has not declared that she's running for governor, she is showing up at 16% in that race. Chris Coleman, former mayor of St. Paul, is at 12%. Rebecca Otto at 9%. Aaron Murphy at 6%. Paul Thiessen at 4%. Tina Liebling at 2%. And 30% undecided. So once again, 30% undecided. You know, even half of that into one of those categories, one of those individuals would change the race dramatically. So I don't know how much you can hold off on that. I mean, like I said, it's a little early yet. But Walz is clearly, I think, the leader as of right now. Even when you're factoring the potential of Lori Swanson running. On the GOP side, Jeff Johnson is the leader at 24%. Kurt Dowd, to my knowledge, also still has yet to announce if he's going to run for governor, but he's polling at 14%. Julie Rosen's at 4%. Matt Dean's at 2%. Keith Downey's at 1%. Wow, ringing endorsement there, aren't you guys? Keith Downey, dude, man, I feel sorry for you, man. 1% in your own party. Undecided, by the way, 54%, well over half the Republicans are undecided at this point.
That kind of sounds like the Lindsey Graham of the Republican race, where he was getting like 1%.
Gosh. 60. You were the head of the Republican Party in the state of Minnesota for how many years? Wow. Matt Dean, too. I mean, there's a guy that a lot of people he's the next big thing for the Republicans, next big thing for the, sure he is. Yeah, good luck. If Jeff Johnson is the guy again, I'm not exactly worried about this, but we'll have to see. But that's the case. We also should mention there's a little bit of hijinks going on right now within the Republican Party. Do we have that audio ready to go? Okay, let me set this up here. Now, once again, if you do remember, when Tina Smith became the senator from Minnesota, replacing Al Franken, the lieutenant governor's position came open. The Senate president ascends to the lieutenant governor position. And I've talked about this before. It's kind of ludicrous that they have no option in it. But the way the dang thing is written, they don't have an option. They have to become the lieutenant governor. The Senate president has to become lieutenant governor. Michelle Fischbach, the Republican, technically became lieutenant governor. Now, you cannot hold the lieutenant governor's seat and a Senate seat. You can only hold one of them, which is also the Republicans are furious about because there was a one-seat majority in the Senate for the Republicans, which is basically if she has to resign the seat to become the lieutenant governor, it's gone. Bye-bye. No longer there. And they'd have to jointly rule over the Senate, which basically kiboshes all of Kurt Dowd's plans because I guarantee you there's nothing that's going to be more in unison than a 50-50 split in the Senate I guarantee you, you're not going to get one Democrat to come on over to your side. So you're going to have to make concessions. And Kurt Dowd is, just he's Machiavellian. It's his little world's blowing up in front of his face. But Kurt Dowd, the wordsmith. Mwah! Huzzah! Le soliloquy for you. I'm the wordsmith. Kurt Dowd. K-Dog. He apparently is trying to find a little nuance, I guess you would say, a little out in this case. Kurt Dowd has told reporters in Rochester that technically Michelle Fitchbach isn't Lieutenant Governor because she hasn't officially taken the oath of office. The constituent suit against her for not resigning her Senate seat will be heard in Ramsey Court February 6th at 9 a.m. Fitchbach told me when I asked her, this is from Mike McAtee, he asked her why she wanted the job, but that wasn't a choice. The Constitution says shall become the lieutenant governor, so she doesn't really have an option on it. And she has, to my knowledge, been acting as the lieutenant governor, which is going to really kibosh Kurt Dowd's entire argument that she didn't take it well if she's been acting as of it. I mean, the only way that they can win on this is that the Constitution basically gets vacated by the Minnesota Supreme Court, which they're not going to do, and say, oh, yeah, she doesn't have to become lieutenant governor. I mean, I'm the first one to say that I think the Constitution needs to be fixed because I think that the Senate president should be able to turn down the lieutenant governor position if they don't want it. I really do, regardless of party. But Dayton, once again proving he's smarter than everyone else in St. Paul right now, realized this little plan, and Fishbach's got to be the lieutenant governor. This is an audio clip from Kurt Dowd, correct?
This is actually Mike McAtee. I think he's actually asking Michelle Fishbach a question.
This is the Fishbach question. Okay, let's hear this.
It sounds like this is a role that you're not going to be doing much in. Why do you want the job then?
Because the Constitution says shall. So it's not a want, it's a constitutional duty.
But do you want the job, I guess, is the question.
I don't necessarily think that is something that is up for discussion because there's a constitutional duty I have that says shall.
By the way, Republican Party, can I make this point to you guys? Michelle Fishbach doesn't seem like she's a bad cat. I mean, I might disagree with her on some politics, but do I see her screaming? Do I see her doing what Kurt Dowd's doing? Trying to do linguistic fare. Huzzah! Huzzah! No, she's not. She's very straightforward, and she's taking this seriously. She clearly doesn't like it, but you know what? She feels as if she owes a duty to Minnesota beyond beyond politics and beyond her personal issues. And by the way, this brings up another interesting point. What's the Speaker of the House chiming in on this crap for anyway? You're the House Speaker. This is the Senate President. Gazelka should be talking about this. Not you, you whiny little pip. Oh, Kurt Dowd. God, I'm going to miss Governor Dayton beating you like a clown, man. Grab your shine box yet once again, Kurt Dowd. It's time to shine up Governor Dayton's shoes. You got one hit on him. That was hilarious. Brett, wasn't that hilarious down in that special election when he took that ALS ice bucket challenge photo and he passed it around saying, "We poured ice water all over Governor Dayton." Ha 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 ha. You got him. Nice. Good get. Ever since then, he has pantsed you like 50 times, you moron. And every time you try to outmaneuver him, he beats you at your own game. This is the worst playground beating I have ever seen in my entire life. And you just don't know when to quit. You just don't know when to quit. So, Kurt, sure. Chime in on this as the Speaker of the House, who really has no say in this whatsoever because this is a Senate issue and an executive branch issue. But sure, chime in and try your, "Well, I don't think she was ever sworn in." Oh. Because you know what's going to happen? Michelle Fischbach is going to walk into the lieutenant governor's office, and there's going to be Governor Dayton sitting there with like a Minnesota Supreme Court justice and a Bible and say, oh, by the way, we got to do this really quick. We got the cameras right here. All the media's here. Let's swear you in right now. And you're going to be sitting there going, get off me. Get off me. I have never seen a single politician get pummeled as bad as Kurt Dowd has gotten. It's just, mwah. If Governor Dayton's real masterpiece wasn't pre-K education, it would be the continued pantsing of Kurt Dowd. K-Dog. Jim is in St. Paul. He wanted to chime in on the Speaker of the Minnesota House, Kurt Dowd. Welcome in, Jim.
Thank you, Matt. You know, I'm glad you're bringing Kurt Dowd up, because ever since he's taken charge, nothing has gotten done in this state. Absolutely nothing. And, you know, I don't know where that guy came from. He's got no charm, no... everybody knows he's a liar. Every time he's taken a position, it's opposite the position he took before. He's disgusting. You know, these Republicans, some of them used to be likable, but they sure attract the worst in people.
They do. And Jim, you know what Kurt Dowd is the epitome of? Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Kurt Dowd is the epitome of a moron that just is smart enough to think that they're smart. You know what I mean? The James O'Keefe type of guy. He thinks he's smart. And so, bolstered by his false sense of intelligence, he decides to show up at the Mensa meeting. And everyone makes him cry. That's Kurt Dowd. He wants to be Johnny Wheeler Dealer. He does. He wants to be the kingmaker in Minnesota politics. He wants to be the godfather. He wants people to kiss his ring. The problem that he doesn't understand is he's just not that smart. He's just not that smart. Do you know who's smart? Governor Dayton is smart. Because everything you have done since you put out that ice bucket challenge photo, Kurt, everything you've done has been unbelievably counterpunched by Governor Dayton. He has trounced you in court. He has trounced you in politics. He has trounced you in legislation. And all you can sit there is suck your thumb. If you really want to be the kingmaker, if you really want to be the Wheeler Dealer, you know what you really need to do, Kurt? Try working with people and not just making it's my way or the highway. You know, we talked when Tony Cornish resigned, and here's the things that I want you to fight against. Here's my list of things you need to destroy. The Republican Party is rotten. False intelligence, mean-spiritedness, selfishness. My God, the head of the RNC wanting her cut off the top. They're greedy jackasses. And this is the problem you have. And occasionally, there might be a few good Republicans out there who are somewhat decent human beings. But unfortunately, your party's been infiltrated by idiot savants who basically feel as if since they've shown up, now everyone has to bow down for their greatness. Hey, watch out. Governor Dayton's taking another swing, and he connects yet once again. 952-946-6205. When we come on back, update on whether or not the federal government's even going to be open past midnight tonight. And I'm going to make a Vikings pick. Oh, God. Don't make me do this. Alrighty. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
A coalition of Minnesota advocacy and activist groups have united to commemorate the anniversary of the 2017 Women's March with a one-day conference for experienced and newly motivated activists to turn outrage into action for ongoing grassroots efforts in the work for social justice. The Min by Min 2018 Beyond Resistance Conference will be held January 28th at Harding High School in St. Paul. The conference centers around three themes: community building, effective activism skills, and understanding the issues. Dr. Rose Brewer, professor of African American and African Studies Studies at the University of Minnesota will present the keynote entitled Forging Revolutionary Change in an Era of Right-Wing Reaction. Other planned sessions include presentations bridging the red-blue divide from Better Angels, Minnesota, women of color leaders in the social justice movement from Take Action, Minnesota, caucus training, and much more. So turn your resistance into action at the Men by Men 2018 Beyond Resistance Conference. Again, that's January 28th at Harding High School in St. Paul. The full schedule and registration is available at menbymen.org. That's MNXMN.org.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day. 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, president of Minnesota Hospice, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on AM 950 on Saturdays from noon to 1. Our team from Minnesota Hospice will continue our series on When Is It Time for Hospice, where we will share insights on life's design, the birthing in and birthing out cycle of life, and discuss the benefits of hospice care. Please join us Saturday from noon to 1 for the new Minnesota Hospice Show and learn more about us online at minnesotahospice.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, hello to you watching. Hello on Facebook. This is as good as it gets. Sorry. It is what it is. You can watch the show on Facebook. The live stream is over there. Facebook at AM 950 Radio. That's Facebook at AM 950 Radio. Senate Democratic Leader Charles Schumer, this is coming off the Hill, returned to the Capitol Friday afternoon without a deal to avoid a government shutdown, saying there is still a good number of disagreements with President Trump on immigration and spending. Schumer says he had a long and detailed meeting with Trump at the White House and covered all the major outstanding issues but failed to reach an agreement. We made some progress, but we still have a good number of disagreements. The discussions will continue after he returned to the Capitol. Schumer huddled in his office with Senate Democratic Whip Dick Durbin, House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi. Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, told the Republican whip, said Trump told Schumer to work out his differences with GOP leadership. The president told him to go back to work. First of all, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't a major part of the problem here, Trump doesn't seem to be on the same page as the Republican leadership? And they can come up with a deal in Congress, but if, you know, insane clown posse in the White House there doesn't basically sign off on it, there's no point. Correct? Did I just call the president of the United States insane clown posse? Oh, Tilt-A-Whirl. What a great song. The president told him to go back and talk to Speaker Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and work it out, according to counting the conversation with the White House Chief of Staff John Kelly. The failure to reach a deal with the White House increases the likelihood of the first government shutdown since 2013. Now, once again, the House has passed a fairly generic temporary government spending bill with the help of the Freedom Caucus. I think 8 Democrats did vote along with that. But the Senate, it's a very different deal. It sounds like there are numerous Republican senators who are not going to go on board with this, which means then they need to get some Democratic votes, and the Democrats don't seem like they're going to be coming too often to the table. And it really comes down to this. They were willing to make concessions on some immigration spending, some money for the wall, for Trump's wall, and some revisions to visa programs and green card programs. the problem is that Trump does not want DACA anywhere near it. And what I think is interesting is you pay attention to Attorney General Jeff Sessions, his argument to the Supreme Court, because there is a lower court ruling right now that says they cannot dismantle the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the Dreamer Act. They can't dismantle that because it's violating. I mean, basically, these children who are now in their 20s, for all intents and purposes, are American citizens. They were brought here when they were 1, 2, 3 years old, have lived in the United States as Americans, basically ever since, are contributing to society, have served in the military, are good, important members of our community, and Trump wants to throw them out. And so what Sessions is arguing is that the idea, and what he's trying to do is trying to say, well, when these countries send us their worst, they're illiterate and they're bad people, we shouldn't accept them, which is what a jackass he is. But it's, you know, this is what they're trying to fight. They basically look, Donald Trump is a racist. Everyone out there, there's no debate on this. It's not, you know, enough with this. Oh, well, he says racist things. Is he a racist? No, he's a racist. He's a racist pig, and he has surrounded himself with racist pigs. For God's sake, Sebastian Gorka was wearing a Nazi medal around the White House. The White House has been infiltrated by white supremacists and racists, and they just don't like black people or brown people. They love the people from Norway, but they do not like the people that come from any country where they're slightly darker than Norway. Which is, by the way, most countries, just FYI. Those are some pale people in Norway. I mean, it's not, you know, winter especially. They're Edgar Winter up there.
I wasn't sure what ethnicity they were in Norway, though.
Are they their house in Norway? I'm not sure. Yeah. Let's go to Kirsten Fjordensen over there for the update. Their Homeland Security Director. This is whether or not they shut down. My gut feeling is they'll come up with a temporary spending bill that will be stripped down. We'll basically just keep the government open, and we're going to go through this. And by the way, Democrats, if you want fun, the Hill story does show that most people will blame Donald Trump if the government shuts down. The Republicans are in charge of the White House, the U.S. House, the U.S. Senate, pretty much the Supreme Court. Them trying to imply the minority party is what's holding up everything is laughable. They need to make some serious concessions. And if they're not willing to do it, well, then let them shut down. Because, once again, he's the great deal maker. He apparently is furious he had to cancel out his, you know, expensive couples dinner that was going to have at Mar-a-Lago because he might be stuck in Washington, D.C. So, oh, poor baby. All right, so here we are. Brett, Vikings-Eagles, your point earlier this week about Patriots fan and Eagles fan in Minneapolis is a very valid one. I'm sorry. I know. We just had that Minnesota miracle. But how many times have you had your heart ripped out by this team? How many times you start believing that they're going to come back, that this year's going to be different? Well, Philadelphia's a good team. I'm not saying they're the best team. I'm not saying they're the top team, but they're a good team, and we're playing at Philly. I'm going to predict that the Vikings are not going to win that game, and that the Super Bowl will be probably, unless Brady's actually more hurt than he really is, actually hurt than he's portraying it is. I think it's going to be the Patriots versus the Eagles, which will be entertaining, but still, may God have mercy on us for having all those fans in town. So don't give me that look, Brett. I'm going with my heart.
You cursed him.
Mike, that's it. Mike, he's up next. Have a great weekend. We're back on a Monday. Till then, see ya.